Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm JJ Flazanes, your empowerment strategist, producer, and winemaker. Thank you for downloading today's episode. Today, I've got Doug Sandler on with me, and we're going to be discussing all things relationships. As we approach Valentine's Day this week, one of my absolute favorite holidays, and most of America's not favorite holidays, especially men who hate this holiday, I've done several podcasts in the past about the reason why Valentine's Day is my favorite, especially when you're single. So if you're single and listening to this, please do not fast forward or think this isn't for you. It absolutely is, because I love teaching women or men how to honor and celebrate themselves and the love that they bring, and to just be happy that day and not be concerned about having a partner, because sometimes what we want, we don't get. And then we're too outside of ourselves to even see that we're trying to like put a Band-Aid on something. When you get a partner, I think a lot of people think that when you get married or you find the partner that you're like, oh, okay, my search is over. I can relax now. And then everyone reverts back to who they are. But the reality of it is, when you meet a partner, the work is just beginning, because you attract your partner to heal the wounds of your past. So I promise you that within a short period of time, whether it be 30 days or 2 years, or usually less than that, your wounds will surface. And Doug and I both have several relationships to pull from, and we're going to be discussing that today. So welcome to the show, Doug.
Hey, thanks, JJ. This is you already started off like fireball. I mean, totally just rolling through this, which is great, because in that first like 2 minutes when you started talking about Valentine's Day, I remembered all of the guilt and all of the lack ofs that I felt like were being thrown in my direction in my first two marriages, because I have been through two relationships that were pretty serious in resulting in marriage. And especially the second one, I really felt like, oh my God, it's Valentine's Day. There's so much to do, so many things to do. And not that I didn't want to do things, I just felt like nothing that I was ever going to do was going to be good enough. Now, not because she was saying that, but more because that is the feeling that I was getting, maybe through growing up and maybe through some of the wounds I had. So that's a great, great starting point to the conversation and for where we're heading in this episode today.
Well, today is February 11th, if you're listening to this in real time, as the day that it's released. And as of the recording of this, we're not even going to be here on Tuesday the 11th. We will be out celebrating an early Valentine's Day up in California with a nice steak dinner and then staying the night at the Madonna Inn. For those of you that have ever known about the Madonna Inn, what's the thing about the Madonna Inn?
It's a old school themed motel. That has, I don't know how many rooms they have, 100 rooms or maybe even more. And each room has a special theme. And it's on a road that is kind of your destination to everywhere in Northern California. And I don't know that the Madonna Inn used to be a destination. It just used to be part of your journey, your pass through. But it is a very cool motel that has themed rooms, and I forget the room name that we're staying in.
I don't remember either. I think it's like the Wren or something.
I think you're right. I can
something
look it
like
up.
That.
We are staying in. No, it just has how much I paid for the hotel. It doesn't have the name of the room, but it's going to be fun. I know that.
Yeah, we're actually going to be celebrating with our neighbors. So it's going to be two couples are driving up to go to this particular steakhouse. And it was suggested by our neighbor, Richard. And we said, let's do it. And then, of course, I don't want to drive 2.5 hours to then drive back 2.5 hours, especially after a dinner. I want to relax. And so I said, well, let's stay the night. And of course, every time we come back and forth from Michael Neely's or Paso Robles, we pass through the Madonna Inn. And I go, and Doug says the same thing every time. Oh, I stayed there one time. And I say, I've never stayed there. And so we're finally going to stay there. And I'm very excited. So as of the recording of this, we are probably checking out of the Madonna Inn and heading back down to Southern California, and not that it's that far away, but I want to talk about, and then we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day also. As I look at my schedule, the only thing I have on my schedule is Qigong. And then I've already told Doug, here's the menu. Here's what we're having for dinner. And I think we're going to watch a movie. Let's watch Valentine's Day, the movie. I love that movie.
I don't even remember it, but if that's what you want to do,
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So let's talk about relationships. Let's talk about connection. Let's talk about communication and couples. And one of the things that Doug said about feeling the pressure, and I know it's all like a lot of guys feel the pressure. And it's unfortunate, because it doesn't have to be that way. I think part of it is based on your love language. Like, if you're someone who is gifts, then Valentine's Day might be something that you love as a guy because it's a reason to get a gift. It's a reason to get multiple gifts and flowers, and that could be exciting for you. And if your partner is, regardless of sex and sexual orientation, if your partner's love language is gifts, then unfortunately for you, this is an important day for them. Now, my love language is not gifts, and so that was never the thing, but it is quality time. And what I learned by being with someone whose love language was not quality time and the rebellion against Valentine's Day was real and hard and long, I said, I'm not going to wait around for you to decide to celebrate love on this day because all you seem to want to do is kick it in the pants. I'm just going to take it upon myself to do what I want to do. I'm going to give myself, which again, guys, if you've been listening for a while, that's my brand. Fit to Love was literally about how to recognize that you are the love of your life. And if you don't start treating yourself as the love of your life, then you will not get another love of your life because you have to be able to know and to attract and to vibrate at a place that says, I'm good. I don't need somebody else because I am getting all of my needs met for myself. I am, and that can include other people. You know, I went dancing a lot. I had some friends that were dance partners that weren't sexual dance partners, right? They were just, especially because most of them were gay, but it was fun to go out and get my feminine dancing on. And then to have certain friends and people to spend time with. So I just want to put that out there because I know that this holiday is kind of hit or miss for some guys. So for you, Doug, I want to know from first marriage to second marriage what the difference was in the expectation for you for Valentine's Day.
Well, I think there was the cultural expectation in marriage, number one, because everybody wanted to do something. You know, the entire world wants to go out to dinner, get flowers, have chocolates, whatever those things are. And, you know, I always felt like probably similar to your husband, your first husband, your ex, I always felt like, why do I have to do this on this day of the year? Why is this the day of the year? Why is everybody telling me that I have to do this when I feel like, man, I do so many things that are right and good and loving and caring and all the things, the other 364 days of the year. Why is on this one day is the day that I'm demanded? Is it demanded of me to do that? That's how I felt. You asked me how I felt. That's not how I feel now, but that's how I felt at that particular point.
How do you feel now?
Well, now, based upon where I hear that you, not just today, but based upon what I know about you and how you respond, I love the fact that you know, what's the expression? You complete me. You know, you don't look to for me to complete you on Valentine's Day by validating our relationship through flowers. If I get those for you, or if we do something nice, or if we participate in a tradition, great. But if we don't, you do that for yourself. And there is so much less pressure on me when I come when we approach the holiday that in that direction. And it almost provides me the opportunity to be okay with doing something because the expectation that I'm and the entitlement that I'm going to do something is not thrust upon me. Does that make
Yeah,
sense?
no, it makes sense. But what I find interesting, it totally makes sense, which is why I don't want women to ever, or men, to look at their partner. And again, this is going to be love language based. If you are a gifts person or your partner's a gifts person, they are going to have an expectation because that is the way that they show love and feel loved is through gifts. Right or wrong, don't judge it. It is what it is. And mine is not gifts. Do I like getting flowers? Yes. And do I get flowers? I mean, we literally this morning had three bunches of flowers. I always have fresh roses in the house if we're here. I mean, if we're traveling, maybe not. But so I'm going to go get the flowers before Valentine's Day. And if I think my parents are sending me flowers, and that'll be nice. But I don't expect them on Valentine's Day because I understand it's going to be more expensive and everyone else is doing it. But I do ex want flowers all the time and I want to use this. But what I was thinking of when you were talking about the resistance that I know a lot of men have about this Hallmark holiday is why do you resist this? Versus you don't resist that Thanksgiving's on Thanksgiving. Why do we got to eat turkey on this day? Why can't we eat turkey on another day? Why can't we all get together as a family on that? Why do you resist Hanukkah or Christmas or any of the other holidays? Is it because you think it's all in your laps to provide and that provides pressure?
It's interesting you say that. Now, you may not know this because those are also holidays that you embrace and that you connect with your love language, which is quality time. However, I feel the same way about Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah that I do with Valentine's Day. The thing that's different about Valentine's Day, it is the holiday of love. So the fact that if I didn't provide for you a gift or flowers or something like that in my previous life. Now, let me back up for one second. I hope this doesn't come across as what an ass Doug is. He's not a romantic. I really do feel like, you know, we'll leave love notes to each other, or we will say nice things to each other, or we'll do something all the other times of the year. But the fact that this is the holiday of love puts a little additional amount of pressure on the expectation. Those other holidays, I really do feel the same way about all of the major holidays. And I think you know that if you were to
Yeah,
really
if
think
it wasn't
that,
for me, we wouldn't celebrate any of them. You'd be like, what are we having for dinner? What TV are we watching? We're not going anywhere. Yeah, no, I know. You don't celebrate any of them. If it wasn't for me, we would have no Hanukkah. I would not be having any Hanukkah dinners. I did it the first year we were together because I thought it'd be special and nice for you to fly home from Baltimore. And I had this nice Hanukkah dinner that we could both enjoy. Yes.
And let me say this, though. My first response or my first reaction to pretty much anything outside of normalcy, the normal schedule, is what?
Resistance.
No. Right. Resistance. It's usually no. And then if you just give me a moment, which I think I've even said that with this upcoming trip to Italy, and we can talk about this as well. What was my first response to Italy?
Oh, it's always, I don't want to go.
Okay. And then what did
I? And it's because of the plane ride.
Except this time, I think I approached it a little bit differently. I think I said, and I think I handle this a lot differently than all the other times that we've either done something that it's like, or something that is a little bit out of, or a lot of it out of the normal for us. I said, can you give me just a little bit to allow this to sink in? Remember, I think I said that to you specifically, and we didn't talk about it. And there was one time along the way within the last month or so that you wanted to talk about it. And I think I might have even said, I'm not ready to talk about it yet. And then I let that kind of go. And then we came back and we are going through the process. Wasn't there a lot less? There was a lot of resistance in the beginning and then the pause. But didn't I let it go a lot better with a lot better attitude this go round?
So that's interesting, I hear you wanting praise and acknowledgement how well that you did. You did better,
I'm not looking for praise.
Okay.
But because we are putting a spotlight on this, I'm going to ask for it, not because I need it to get my needs met, but more because I want you to know that I feel like I have changed to that degree. I handle this a lot differently than I used to.
You were definitely more advanced in your communication about what you needed and how to handle both of our ways of doing things. And it's because, you know, I'm a think of it and then go do it the next second. And you're like, I need some time because I have resistance. And we have a track record of that every time we go. I mean, the last trip, which was 2 years ago, you know, the minute we get off the plane and walk into the Airbnb, you're like, this is a cool city. I like it here. And I started to cry because I was like, oh my God, like the relief. And then of course, 2 days later, 3 days later in Positano, you're like, no, actually we were still in Florence. And you said, thank you for bringing me here. And I'm like, I'm going to slap you.
And then I think I even said, I'm going to miss you when you go home and I stay here.
Every time, every flipping trip. Okay. You put up a fight in the beginning, then you get there, and then you ease into it, and then you don't want to leave. And they're like, well, I'm not leaving.
We know that about me now. We know that much more clearly now that we are, let's see, 7 years into this relationship, know this a lot more clearly now than we did in the beginning. And at the beginning of the relationship, I would have handled it the same way that I did with the previous two marriages that I was in, except I would have not gotten beyond it because there would have been so much push. I want to go. I want to do this. I want you. You handled it well. I think I handled it well. And we get our communication style now a lot differently than I did in my first two relationships.
You know, communication, if I dug out, I don't know if I've shared this on the show ever, probably, but, you know, years ago, I had read Dr. Sheree Carter Scott's. It was one of my, it's like my Bible. If love is a game, these are the rules. That book was my Bible for a long time. And the funny thing is I never made it past chapter two, because chapter two was about making your list. And then the first chapter was about loving yourself. It was exactly what I talked about in terms of this idea of Valentine's Day. But what became clear in sort of when I got into some relationships, it didn't matter if it was, you know, one that ended in marriage or one that was before that, I sort of had an agenda or goals or ideas or sort of, you know, things that were important to me. And I definitely did it for my marriage, because I thought, all right, if this is it, like I got to have these hard conversations. And the things that were important to me were celebration, which he was like, poo-poo, no, like had no interest in celebration. Communication. I talked about how communication was really important. And I actually, it wasn't a yes or no question. I gave him the list, and then I had the list, and we each wrote what we felt about or what it was for us that was important about that, you know, bullet point, if you will, so that we could come together on the same page. And you know, when you're in a beginning in a relationship, you say, what I've learned is that you say whatever the other person wants to hear. You're like, oh yeah, it's all important to me. Like you do all the love languages because you're in a new relationship. You're in the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. Nobody sees your wounds yet or your habits and patterns. You like all the things. You don't like gifts, but you got me a lot of gifts when we first were together. And not because I asked for them, but because you had this new excitement, love in your heart, and you wanted to buy me things.
I love that you say the love language is, it's all the things. It really is. You think about it, it's like all you want to do. You know, I would say my first love language is definitely not quality time. It's absolutely not gifts. And it may be closer to acts of service. It's 100%. It's, you know, it may even be touch, but it's 100% words of affirmation. So for me, it was like, oh, well, this feels unusual. All of the things are my love language right now. You gave me the book. If you give me the book at the beginning of the relationship, I would have probably circled, these are all the things I want to do for my love. And these are all the things that I want to receive in return. Because they're all validation that the relationship is going well, you know? Somebody wants to spend time with you, buy you gifts, wants to spend time with just holding hands, walking, you know, taking a walk, saying nice things about you, doing acts of service. All of those things are important in the beginning. And it's not that they're not important to me now or people at some point in their relationship, but your primary love language always rises to the top.
Right. And the other ones fall away. And so that's when people start to think my partner doesn't love me anymore. Right. He doesn't touch me anymore, or he only has criticisms to say. He doesn't, or he's not complimenting me anymore, or whatever it is for you. And I know one of the things I worked really hard to, after doing the core wound exercise and being blown away and really being able to see my patterns and how deep and far back they went. And again, I knew this in my entire marriage. I understood this. I would even say that. I said, it's not me you're reacting to. This is, you're reacting to your mother, and vice versa. Like when we're triggered, it's really not about us. We're having the trigger moment is about your past, and the past is being pulled forward, but we're not really consciously having this argument. Like this isn't so. And that's, again, what has stemmed all the work I've been doing over the last 6 years with rewiring the core wound patterns and the core wound map process. But I really wanted to work on myself because I was the one doing the work. I was the one who, in my opinion, right? I mean, he would disagree and say, no, he was doing work. I didn't know what that was exactly, but I would, you know, but he said he would do some work, and we did do some therapy, different kinds of therapies, and that was fine. And sometimes good things came out of that. But ultimately, after coming out of that relationship and you and I in this honeymoon phase, I think I said to you, and I knew it was going to happen, like your wounds, because definitely had never been dealt with in either relationship, and my wounds that I couldn't heal by myself, were going to come back to bite us. And they did, probably within the first year. Definitely within the first year, because we left 868 after a year. And I remember we were, well, definitely we're living in El Segundo, but I think it was probably towards the end of living at 868 before we moved to Main Street, that we were taking walks and having, like, you know, we were a little, like, little hurts happening, and the whole abandonment thing with you, and I would leave and not say goodbye, and you know, like, if we go back to where we were 7 years ago, like, we're very different now. Yeah. in a good way, in a good way. But
sure. Yeah.
these what we did do, and this is what this show is kind of wanting to ease into, is that we knew those wounds were there. I could see them very clearly. I could, when I started to react to you, like I used to react to him, and when you used to react to me, like you would react to the last one, I'm like, okay, stop. Like, we have to go and reset this. We have to go, like, use the tools. And I had the tools, but I wanted to have a reset. I wanted to honor our relationship by not assuming that we would change our behavior without help or without an agreement. So we took ourselves to Esalen for 5 days with, or 3 days with Harville and Helen, and did Getting the Love That You Want. And, you know, by that point I had already interviewed them a couple of times, and of course love his work, and use the tools that I teach others with you. And we now have really good tools. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think we have some great tools. I think that, you know, whether we're doing our safe I'm sorry, I'm messing up with the name of it.
Couples Dialogue.
Thank you.
Couples, I mean, Dialogue. It really is the same thing, though. They call it Safe Conversations. It's called the Couples Dialogue. It could just be called Dialogue now, but it's all the same structure.
Right. I mean, just that one tool alone was a huge
breakthrough.
Yeah, there was opportunity in that tool to really understand not only your feelings but my feelings as well, receiving it. And you can kind of check in, you know, all what you're doing is you're providing a safe space for your partner to have a conversation with you, and vice versa. And when you're doing that you're not invested in the feelings that your partner is sharing with you, you are just providing the space. Now, whether you hear them or not is up to you, but you're providing the space. And when you do that, man, oh man, that takes all the pressure off of you in a conversation. You don't have to feel defensive or in a position to, you know, to argue back, or none of that happens. So just that one tool alone is a lifesaver. It's a relationship saver.
Well, because it provides structure. It's structure that honors. That's why it then became Safe Conversations, because in a normal conversation, you're already triggered. You're coming to me, and then somehow that triggers me, because that's what happens, everybody. In your relationships, you can't even be present for your other person. If you have too many wounds, that get triggered all the time, because you stop listening. The minute you're triggered by what your partner says, because it triggers a wound from your past, you stop listening. And now you're in defense mode, and you're in power struggle. And this structure is how you get out of power struggle and can actually sit back and know you're going to have your turn. You're going to be able to speak and talk about what is bothering you and to go through the whole process. And it's a really nice way. And people resist the structure of it because it's, you know, it's a script and you follow the paper. But once you can get over that, sort of like Valentine's Day, once you can get over that, wonderful things happen, because you lean into that this is going to provide an even, fair, safe space that people can share their feelings and thoughts. And the exercise in itself also has you connect it to something from your past that has nothing to do with your now, or actually nothing even to do with your adulthood. And I mean, that becomes, I believe, a bit of hope and relief for people to realize, oh, this, what we're arguing about right now is not new, and it's not your fault. And it takes blame off of the other person immediately. Now, we use more than that tool, but that tool was one of the things that we do, and we've done it often, not recently, but we've done it often. I think in this house, maybe we've done it, I can imagine, maybe two or three times since we've lived here. We might've used it a little bit more before we moved here in the beginning of our relationship a little bit more, but it's there, and no one has resistance to using it, because if we're fighting, we don't like fighting. We don't like to be mad at each other. And so we want to get over that. We both, you know, the good thing about Doug and I is we both want to be happy. We both actually seek to feel good all of the time, or most of the time, unless we're expressing, you know, pain from something, which is totally necessary. But we want to keep our frequency and vibration in appreciation and in joy and in love most of the time. And we're not trying to prove a point, or nobody, I mean, I'm probably the one that holds grudges more than you do, but You know, when it comes to that kind of stuff, we just don't want to deal with that. We don't, and that's great. But some of these things are very learnable. And I wanted to, we have an announcement, but before the announcement, I wanted to just come on here to honor Valentine's Day, to honor where you are in your relationship, and to know that no matter where you are in your relationship, you can make it better. We get into habits and patterns with our partners. They become our friends, our buddies in the house. Sometimes the intimacy can go away because you're too busy or you have children or you know things are going on. The connection as adults without children or other circumstances can get blurred because of life circumstances. And you know when you're together with someone, you started out most likely that you chose this person. Regardless if you're married or not, you chose this person and that person is important to you. And so why not? Why wouldn't we want to get back to that spark of this person that you love or like or is your best friend or you can't live without or that you just can't get rid of? In my case, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Because when you said quality time wasn't your love language, I'm like, well, I don't know. You're always around. You're never, you don't go anywhere with anyone
24/7,
else.
24/7. I'm in this house.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if you wanted to go adventure without me for a day or two,
I
or I
did.
know.
I went fishing and you got a little pissed at me.
No, I got pissed because where you
Of
went, I
how
would have
I've.
gone and how you came and approached it. You came to the table and said, I'm going fishing. You
You
started out
heard.
a little defensive.
You definitely heard it. The way that it struck a wound. I was not saying it that way. I was more saying it because I was excited to. I finally said, look, my schedule just cleared for the next 4 days. I am going fishing. It wasn't my, I'm going fishing and you can't go. I would have really loved
But
you to have you have
you,
gone.
what you said to me was the reason why you said it that way, and you did this afterwards, because I said, that's not how you said it. You said it because you didn't want to make me going, like you going, dependent on me going. Because if I couldn't go, you didn't want to suffer by not going. You were going to go whether I could go or not. You weren't about me not going, but you were defensive because you wanted to go so bad. And you wanted to make sure that I knew you were going with or without me, but that kind of came off a little like I'm going, and I just thought, whoa, that's a 180 for you. It's you know, that's not how you are normally, which is was abrupt to me. So anyway, so the announcement that we have, yeah,
Let's move on.
okay,
Let's move
let's
on.
move on. All right,
Yeah.
so
Time to
we,
connect.
yes, connect. Thank you
Yeah.
for that segue. Connect.
You're welcome.
Maybe it was a couple of years ago or whenever we first got together, you know, we're in that honeymoon stage and we're like, oh, and everyone does this, I've noticed. Everyone that gets together and you can go back and listen to the podcast, we're all like, we're gonna do a couples retreat and everybody come and we're full of love and we're gonna sell it. I mean, that's what happens when you're in the honeymoon phase. And we didn't end up going through with it. And then I just put it, you know, put it down and didn't even think about it again. And at the Embodied Healing Intensive last year in October at the VIP dinner afterwards, everybody's sitting around and you know, we're all having different conversations. And the next thing I hear is everyone saying to Doug, why don't you guys do a couples retreat? And he's like, yeah, that sounds great. And he's starting to plan. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. I got other stuff I gotta do first. What are you talking about, couples retreat? And everyone's like, well, you know, we want to bring our husbands. Now, I am a woman dominated. I don't want it to be that way. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Ned. Thank you, Sheridan, and all the other men, of course, that support the event, like Josh and Ricky and Doug, of course. But a lot of women are attracted to the work and the men. And sometimes I did say to the women for the Embodied Healing Intensive, do not bring them here for the first time. Like if this is their first JJ event, don't. This is a deeper kind of event. Now, this next event this year, later this year, fine. Everybody is welcome. It'll be something everyone, even if it's your first time and you've never met me before. So whatever. So going back to everyone's like, I want my husband to do this work with me. And they see us. And, you know, I don't know how many times we got called role models at this last event by single women who were like, I want a relationship like you guys have. And so, you know, we researched it and we're doing it.
I'm excited about this. Talk about compassion, communication, and connection. Those are the three C's that we are bringing up over and over again for these for this event that we're putting together.
So it is a 4-night couples retreat called Connect. And it is happening May 4th, 15th. To the 19th. Let me say that again. May 15th through the 19th. It is a Thursday to a Monday, like you check out and leave on Monday. And it's going to be in Sausalito, Mexico, which is 45 minutes from Puerto Vallarta Airport.
Yay.
And at this time, there are only, well, there are 10 potential rooms. Of course, we're filling one of them. So at the most, we can have 9 couples. We already have 2 or 3 rooms filled. So we are right now only able to offer 6 because I went back to some of those clients and said, okay, and some of the ladies in my groups know I was planning this. And they're like, okay, when? I want to sign up. So we already have some of those rooms filled. So now I'm putting it out to the general population. Whether you've worked with me or not in the past, it doesn't actually matter for this couples retreat, because the curriculum could be brand new to you, and that's fine. And if it's a repeat, it's going to be a good repeat because you're going to get to do it with your partner, whether it be, again, this is open to all kinds of couples. It doesn't have to be a man and a woman, whoever's invited, although please be human. 2 human people would be the best. Maureen asked if she could bring Charlie. And I was like, that's cute. No, you and your dog can't come. Love you, Maureen. But it's going to be a total of, again, at the most 10 couples.
Maureen, you and a partner could come.
Right. Maureen, you have some time to go get a partner. start working on that. So there we have it. So connect. And how this starts is you fill out an application, as with all my higher programs with, you know, smaller group coaching style information. We're going to have you fill out an application so the 4 of us can jump on a call and see what's going on and see if this feels like the right place for you, if this is going to be, you know, something that we can provide the right atmosphere and information. I have secured a sort of chef bartender team to help out for 4 of the meals, and all the meals and the places included in the price that we have. And don't ask me price, because you may not get an invitation. You have to fill out an application first, and we have to make sure that it's a fit. And there are some criteria to make sure it's a fit, because again, we want to have the best possible outcomes for everybody that's coming, and to know that you are open and flexible and ready to experience things, and you're not someone who's going to, you know, do things that are take you out or be resistant. Definitely, this is not for you if you have any resistance. And if you're someone who's come to one of my live events in the past, here it is. If you've ever wanted to share some of this work with your spouse, this is the time to do it. I think this is definitely love, intimate relationships. It's connection. This wouldn't be necessarily the right place for like a sister to sister or mother, daughter or father, son like that. I'll have something else for that coming this summer. But for right now, these are just intimate couples.
I want to add 3 things. Food, fun, and function. So the food is going to be great. We have a chef that's coming in. I don't know if you want to get into any of the details, but JJ has hired this amazing chef who is going to be preparing so many meals for us. Fun, because that's kind of how I want to do things. I love the fun. So we're going to have dancing involved, and we're going to have laughing involved, and it's close to the beach, and there's going to be some great activities that are going to be totally fun, and I love laughing, so I know there's going to be a lot of that. And function, of course, we're going to do the work. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty and do some work. We've got some great tools that we're going to present to you. You've probably know of many of them, but you may not have done many of them with a partner, so it's going to be fun. There's going to be function, and there's going to be lots of great food. Those are the 3 things I want.
Yeah, let me address the food. So it will be, what we will provide will be gluten-free. If you want to go get gluten on your own, that's up to you. You're welcome to do that. It will also have corn-free options. Yes, we're going to be in Mexico, and there will be handmade corn tortillas that will be organic and non-GMO. There will also be keto tortillas that are handmade locally that I've had when we were with Naisha and Steve a couple of years ago. And that woman makes these amazing keto tortillas that are super low carb. Anyway, so there's many different options of food. All diets will be taken into consideration. And if you have a specific diet, we will take that into consideration when you sign up and make sure that there's plenty of options for you. There'll be lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, as well as salads and guacamole, of course, and meats. And if you don't eat meat, let us know and we'll figure out something for you. She has a whole vegetarian and vegan menu if needed. I didn't pick any of that yet because I don't know who's coming. There will be alcohol, but we're going to be really careful about how we use it and when we use it. Of course, there'll be margaritas and wine, and there'll be mocktails for anyone that doesn't drink. They're going to provide all kinds of really fun mocktails that I'm actually looking forward to also. So that way, again, it's going to be vacation-like. You will have Thursday night. I'll just go through the schedule. Thursday night, we would have a family-style dinner, and you just check in and then hang out, no structure. Friday and Saturday would both start around 9 o'clock in the morning. There'd be a prepared lunch. We take a break And then that we would end around 3 o'clock so that you could go explore. We're in walking distance of the town of Sayulita and walking distance to the beach. There is a pool and a hot tub on the property, as well as kind of like in a little jungle area. So it's secluded and private, as well as beautiful, but accessible to the downtown. So that way you're not coming to Mexico and constantly just with us in practice, that you can go out and go shopping or go, and there's one meal that would be on your own. That would be Saturday night. That way, when we're done at 3 o'clock on Saturday, or ish, and we're gonna aim for 3 o'clock. But if we're done a little bit sooner, awesome. And then you guys can go do your own thing. I will be teaching salsa classes, at least two of them, and they are not mandatory. They're optional. And the reason why they're in the schedule, besides the fun and the exercise piece, is because when you do partner dancing, what I love about partner dancing, especially salsa, is that this is nonverbal communication. And when you and your partner can communicate through touch nonverbally about what to do and how to move, there is a level of intimacy, and as well as a lead, and I'll just say a man for right now, but I lead, so that's not necessarily like a masculine thing, but the whoever leads, and I can lead Doug if he could learn to follow, whoever leads is the one in charge of the communication, and whoever follows. You know, and I know a lot of women, they don't know how to let go of control. I love leading women because I won't teach you the moves. I'll just make you do them and I'll lead you into them. And you'll be like, whoa, like how that just happened? Because I know how to lead you and you don't know how to let go of control. Women will learn the how to dance and do the steps, and then they'll back lead their man to try to get it right. And we got to let go of that. That's a huge issue in relationships with polarity and with allowing. Women don't know how to just fucking let go and not like think. That's why I love dancing so much, because I'm not in charge. I am literally not in charge. I am someone is saying, do you want to dance with me? I'm like, sure. And then for that 2, 3, 4, 5 minute song, I am not in charge. I'm not thinking. I am not responsible. And all I am is flowing through the moves and having a good time. So it's a amazing experience. So I will recommend that everyone at least try it one time. If nothing else, to diagnose that you're either a control freak or you're too afraid to take charge, one of the two. So dancing is definitely going to be involved. And then, you know, then there's the rest of the thing. Sunday, most of Sunday after brunch will be on your own and to do whatever you want to do. And then we'll come back for dinner on Sunday night. And then we check out on Monday. So again, as of right now, I believe there are 6 current rooms available. And you would fill out an application. There are payment plans available with us. We do not cover the airfare and the transportation from Puerto Vallarta Airport to the house, to the property. So you would go to jjflazanes.com/couplesretreat, CoupleSretreat. jjflazanes.com/couplesretreat to fill out an application. Again, 6 spots are left. And what else?
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's called Connect. It's for any stage of a relationship. You know, one Doug and I were not having big problems at all, but I saw what was coming. I saw that here's our habits and patterns, and if we don't nip this in the bud now, then it will get worse if we don't address it. So wherever you are on the path, in fact, you know, we even said back then that we would like to do this every couple of years just to kind of keep on being, you know, and so now we're doing it in reverse. We're going to teach it, but we're going to be doing it too. Part of the exercises at the couples retreat is that when we give you the exercise, we're going to be doing them with you. So this is all of us in practice together and all of us keeping a safe space for us to grow and connect and to talk about hard things if need be, which is probably going to happen, but also make plans and progress and find hope and excitement and discover new things about yourself and your partner that maybe you didn't know before because you've been interpreting them incorrectly. And you can walk away going, oh my God, I had no idea that that's amazing. Now I see it completely differently. And that's what I expect that every single person walking away from this will feel about something that we do over the weekend. You will walk away with a new found perspective and hope and feeling about something that's bothered you for 20 years or something that you just have been afraid to talk about that we're going to give you the space and the opportunity to deal with.
I'm excited to be able to connect with a lot of people that are coming too, because I only have a chance maybe once a year to see them all together in the live event, and then maybe briefly if they're doing a VIP here. So this is going to be fun. This is something that I have been looking forward to for the last several years. And then finally, at this last live event that JJ did, too many people came up to me and said, when are you guys going to do a live a couples retreat? So this is it. This is your opportunity. We don't know that we're going to do this again. So if you are going to want to do one, now is the time to do it. If it goes the way that we think that it's going to, we absolutely will do it again. If we if we get people that are interested in doing it, now is your opportunity to do it.
I had one of my clients, her husband hadn't met me yet. He met me 2 days ago, but online, but he told her a couple times to tell me, thank you. Thank you for the progress that she's made in the groups and how that's impacted all of their lives. And I know a lot of you, whether you listen to the podcast and have never been to a live event, if you've changed your behavior in any way because of the show, and you can feel the ripple effect of that throughout your family members or your children or your relationship, this is a good time to come and introduce them to some of these, some of the, you know, there's like beginner exercises that we're going to do. So we're going to ease you into it really well. And after you leave, you're going to want to take these home with you, and maybe you won't do all of them. Oh, one more thing to mention. What this also includes is once the rooms are all full, we will have a Zoom meetings for everyone to meet each other before we come. So there's a little bit of a getting to know you. And then we'll have a meeting. We'll have another Zoom like group coaching after the event is over. And we'll decide when we're there, how much time you want, whether it be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks from when we leave, so that you integrate. Because as most of you know, I'm not a big fan of just go get all excited about something and then go home and do nothing. Like, I want you to use what we're doing with you. I want you to put it in practice. I want to know where you need help putting into practice, or how to make it easier to do it in your real life so that your real life changes, because that's what you want, is to have a deeper connection with your partner on a more regular basis. And we want to help you do that. So hopefully, if this sparks your interest, sign up as soon as you can. There's only 6 rooms. Again, it's in May. jjflazanes.com/couplesretreat. And if this is something not in your wheelhouse right now because you're single or you're going through a hard time and you just don't see any way out of it, again, like Doug said, if it happens, if we have an amazing experience, we'll do it again. But in the meantime, just take the lessons from what we started off with at the beginning of this podcast episode. Valentine's Day is about love, and it's not necessarily just about your partner. I actually, at one point, used to give gifts to some of my best friends at Valentine's Day. Now, I am currently, because for whatever reason, I'm not as in the gift giving as I have been, probably because of the quality time. But I used to like make packages, and I'd put hearts and stickers on them, and I would send them to women, you know, like 5 different women that I'd be like, oh, I love you. Like, that was, and I'd send them a Valentine's present. And I give Valentine's cards because it's, well, again, my favorite holiday. It's a reason to remind the people that you love them. And stop having so much damn resistance, everybody. Make it a holiday that you want to celebrate, that you have, you know, reframe it. If you have a partner, be thankful and appreciative that you have a partner to even do something with. And if you don't have a partner, appreciate that you're an amazing person who's going to attract love from all kinds of people, whether it be a partner or from your friends or from your coworkers or from your family or from strangers on the street that say hello to you or give you a compliment. So there's just a lot of opportunity, and that's what I want you to all think about. What opportunity does this give me today to feel and experience and share more love in the world?
Thank you, lover. I love and appreciate you.
Thank you, lover. I love and appreciate you too. All right, everybody. Have a great Valentine's Day.